It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour. So I'm not sure, is Jason still on, even though he was...
I texted him today, but he didn't text me back. But he usually never texts me back anyway.
He's off his show, but in the past, sometimes he's been off his show, but still be on.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Tim Van Born is definitely
Tim
on.
Tim Van Born is definitely on, yeah.
And we always start Wednesday with Rain Man. 1-800-990-3776. Caller number 5, Rain Man. You have a chance to win a Cousin Subs for a year worth about $300. And just by being the lucky fifth caller, 1-800-990-3776, you win a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. Yes, someone got an offer, zero for 15, and they still get the $25 card. That is against my objection, but I don't make the rules. So you can be terrible. And fortunately, and as an indication of the standard that contestants have, nobody has just missed them on purpose, just knowing that they would get the $25 gift certificate anyway, either way. So one of our great partners, Cousin Subs, $25 gift certificate to caller number 5, and a chance to win Cousin Subs for a year if you finish with the most for our contest, which runs 6 months and will end now the last Wednesday of December. Also a great partner of Rain Man, which, if you don't know, is a show stolen from ESPN. And they had 15 questions, 2 minutes, and people would win and then try to take on the famous Schwab, who was very good. And Dan Needles, in fact, after they allowed local TV sportscasters, competed, won, and defeated the Schwab. The first person to start the Rain Man of the competition, I believe, was Kenny Mayne. And then it moved on to other people, and then it's dead there, but not here. And Rain Man continues. It was not called Rain Man there. It was, I can't remember the name of it. I called it Rain Man because initially the contestants went against Dan Needles. The other great partner of Rain Man is Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service for many years. And then I discovered, and should have known before that, that they've been doing it well for over 50 years. So that's how they can be that good. A name synonymous with employee benefits, which can be complicated, and top-notch service because they've been doing it well for over 50 years. Still doing it. Still the Saganiacs doing it. Of course, Saganiac Planning also, a phone number you can remember. All you got to remember is 782-762-783. Roger Maris, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
We have a contestant, Sean in Sun Prairie. I, of course, never ask how Sean is. I don't really care. But I am curious as to his Rain Man resume, to give people some indication of how well he might do. Just exactly the same reason why baseball in the All-Star game, allowing people to challenge a ball or strike, should use the damn box so we can tell whether or not they should challenge it. Now, I understand maybe the teams would watch TV and you don't want that, but they could figure out a way to say that one was close. They show us the box when they're not using the box. But if they're using the box, they don't show us the box. Nothing in the history of the world can be back-to-back that stupid. I'm probably wrong. But, Sean, your resume, please. More than you needed to know.
I tied for... Yes.
Are you a former winner?
I am not a former champion, but tied, and Tony Smith did not pick my number.
Yeah, you remembered. It's Tony's fault. Yes, that's accurate. It is
Tony's fault. Tony's fault.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what he did, but he made the selection, and it is his fault. Had he chosen, we probably did the number back then, too. I don't remember. Maybe Sean, you did.
Yes, he did.
He picked the number. He picked it for a player number or his number?
His phone number.
What? Yeah, but it's the phone number. But I don't know if he picked his number at Marquette or something. I can't.
Yeah.
I'll ask Tony. All right. You ready to go? Clearly, okay. Good has been a finalist before. The first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. You ready to go, Sean?
Ready to go.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. I interviewed him on a special show Monday. He was a starter on the 77 championship team.
Pass.
The Miz pitched what inning last night for the National League All-Star team?
7.
Incorrect. How many runs did the Miz give up?
0.
Correct. Who's the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin?
Pass.
How many games are the Brewers behind the Cubs?
1.
Correct. What American golfer has won the Open Championship 5 times?
Can you repeat?
What American golfer has won the Open Championship 5 times?
Jack Nicklaus.
Incorrect. What American golfer has finished 2nd in the Open 7 times?
Jack Nicklaus.
Correct. Is 1,329 rushing yards the 5th best season ever for a Green Bay running back? Name him.
I'm on Green.
Incorrect. Packer great, MVP winner, but never more than 681 yards rushing in a season.
Paul Hornung.
Correct. Best ever Packer receiver, 72.6 yards per game for his career.
Don Beebe.
Incorrect. 73 receiving touchdowns, most ever by a Packer receiver since 1950.
Antonio Freeman.
Incorrect. How many receptions did Aaron Rodgers have with the Packers?
2.
Incorrect. All-time NBA career scoring. Kevin Durant is 8th, 18th, or 28th?
18th.
Incorrect. All-time NBA career scoring. LeBron 1, Kareem 2. Who is number 3?
Kobe.
Incorrect. He's 4. How old is Giannis?
30.
That's correct. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5.
I have 5 as well.
All right. Sean's going to think he should have.
That was terrible.
But, well, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. That's judged by how many Pebble gets right. I am a little disappointed you weren't listening to the damn show on Monday. I interviewed him as a special show. It was a half-hour show.
Jim Boylan.
Jim Boylan.
Yeah,
and he said in the fight during that run in the NCAA tournament, it was actually Al McGuire who threw the punch, the first punch, hitting one of his own players. If you want to know more than that, you'll have to go. Where is that? The ESPN Wisconsin app,
right? Wisconsin app, yeah. Wisconsin On Demand.
All right. The Miz pitched what inning last night for the National
League? He was reportedly supposed to pitch the 7th, but he pitched the 8th.
He pitched the 8th. How many runs did he give up? Zippo.
0.
1 hit, no strikes. Who is the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin?
Jeff Grimes.
Nicely done. The Brewers are 1 game behind the Cubs. What American golfer has won the Open Championship 5 times? Tough question.
Tom Watson?
Tom Watson is correct.
Tom Watson.
Jack Nicklaus won all those majors, and he was 2nd in the Open 7 times. What a loser. No, just clearly not the case. But it's amazing how many majors he could have won. His 1,329 rushing yards, the 5th best season ever for a Green Bay running back.
Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs last year. Understand
how
special that was. No, you should have known that. We haven't mentioned it. It's our fault in the media. Everyone should know. Josh Jacobs, whatever you think of him, on his resume, 5th best season ever for a Green Bay running back. Now, there is one problem that I have to admit. They play more games. So we probably should do yards per game. We'll look that up. All right, yes. Paul Hornung never gained more than 681 yards rushing in the season. But he only played 12, maybe 14. Best ever Packer receiver, 72.6 yards per game for his career.
Sterling Sharp?
Sterling Sharp. And I think James Lofton was really close. This everyone should know, to know his greatness. 73 receiving touchdowns, the most ever by a Packer receiver since 1950.
Devontae Adams.
And just so you know that the game had to be different, Don Hudson holds the Packer record. Devontae Adams has 73. How many receiving touchdowns does Don Hudson have? I'll ask Sean if he gets it right. Breakfast at Ted's.
Don Hudson has 33.
99!
Whoa!
99! Oh. This is the meanest question ever. How many receptions did Aaron Rodgers have with the Packers?
Zero?
Three. Caught the ball three times. Don't ask me when. You had two. You were close. Minus 11.
I remember two.
Yeah. All-time career scoring. Kevin Durant is 8th, 18th, or 28th.
Eighth?
He is 8th. You need to realize, wow, for whatever that's worth, but he scored a ton of points. Pebble will get this one right, I guarantee. All-time NBA career scoring. LeBron 1, Kareem 2. Who's 3?
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone is 3, and I think Kobe is 4. And how old is Giannis? 30. Everybody should know that. And I actually went to Jeff Sports today, and tell me if you think this is a good idea, Sean. I said, we need to have you put together Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, and Andrew Vaughn. And he didn't even know who Andrew Vaughn is. Who is Andrew Vaughn?
Man. Yep. Third overall pick. Third overall pick.
Right.
In the last year or 2 years ago, all three of them were drafted in third overall.
Yes.
Correct.
1973, third overall pick, Robin Yount. 1977, third overall pick, Paul Molitor. 2019, the third overall pick, Andrew Vaughn. Arguably, know this as well, if you don't like Aaron Rodgers, I do, but still. Arguably a greater athlete at the University of California than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was good. Andrew Vaughn was the college baseball player of the year 1 year. And it's your job, Sean, to do the research and explain what the hell happened for the White Sox to give up on him after like 3 years. He was horrible this year. He was okay the first 2 years. And third pick in the draft, and you bail on him for an average pitcher the Brewers gave up to get him? Something. There's got to be more going on, and nobody's – I mean, third overall pick in the draft.
Like, what did Jeff say to that?
What? Jeff said, I don't have any Andrew Vaughn rookie cards yet, but he's working on it. He's first going to have to look up, and then that's on us. If there's one thing everybody should know about Andrew Vaughn when he plays for the Brewers, he was the same overall pick as Robin Yount and Paul Molitor. Does that mean he's going to be as good?
Yep.
Probably not. But that tells you the view of him entering the majors. And unlike Yount, who was out of high school, I mean, Paul Molitor played college baseball at Minnesota, so it's probably a greater connection now. So tell everybody, Sean, Andrew Vaughn, what's the one thing everybody should know about Andrew Vaughn? Tell him, Pebble.
He looks like the director Ron Howard with his hair.
He does look like Ron Howard. Yeah, very good. We'll let Sean do it. Sean, you don't have to yell. Only I yell unless you. What should you say to anybody? If you've heard of Andrew Vaughn, what's the first thing you should say about him?
He's the third overall pick in the 2019 draft.
Yes.
And the same draft pick as Paul Molitor.
Yes. Same exact
Paul Molitor and Robin Yount.
Yes. And he may have nothing more in common with him. But still, he does look like Ron Howard a little bit. Anything you want to add to that, Sean?
Nope.
Which of the ones you missed do you feel worst about? Which of the ones you missed do you feel worst about?
I overthought Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams, and I was thinking yards per catch was either Don Beebe or Bill Schrader, but you were going for career average.
Yes, yards per game. I need to look up, and I want to look up Josh Jacobs in terms of yards per game for a season as to where it fits, because I mean, extra games. But Jim Taylor played, and I don't know if he ever played even 14, maybe 12. I'd have to look it up. But, yeah, yards per game is what you have to do for everything, from passing and everything else. It's just so, anyway, Sean, good luck. And you're not.
I could have done better.
You could have done better. Yeah.
No.
Thanks, Sean.
Absolutely.
Jason Wilde, next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, even when he doesn't do his own show, he comes on this show. You're a better man than I.
But don't tell Paula.
Okay, I won't. I don't know how that goes.
She always gets after me for working when I'm not supposed to be working. But I'm sitting watching the UW volleyball camps. She's working on serving with about 100 other girls. So I'm just sitting here dodging volleyball. So I got time
Who
for you,
Who knew
my friend.
College volleyball, women's college volleyball, become so huge?
It's only going to get feeling. Bigger. Yeah, I had a feeling. I covered Badger volleyball from 97 through 02. They had a couple of teams that came close to going to the Final Four. They had one team that did go to the Final Four. John Cook was the coach here at the
right before he went to Nebraska, right?
Bailed yeah, on. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was talking with Kelly Sheffield this morning, and they got a cook in here. I know they didn't get as far as they wanted to last year, but they won the title a few years ago, and it's pretty cool. I got to say, I was telling Sydney yesterday, she was learning different setting techniques from Lauren Carlini, and I said, you know, this is like having Steph Curry give you pointers on your three-point shot.
That's true. Correct.
She's the starting center for the U.S. Olympic team. That's kind of a big deal, so pretty neat to be here, but that's
yeah,
not why
no,
you
they, every year, no, every year, the assumption is that they're going to make the Final Four. That's the standard. You make the Final Four every year. The only standard higher of any team at Wisconsin, I'm aware, would be the women's hockey team, which you assume they're going to win the championship every year and hope maybe they'll have an unbeaten and be a legendary team. But anyway, all right, I'm thinking I need to have you talk about the defense for me because – I have less than high expectations for certain players, like the number one pick from Iowa. But then I think last year, they were sixth in yards given up, which is huge, or points given up, excuse me. So there have to be things they're doing better than I'm giving them credit for. Like, I don't, what? You can't be sixth in points given up unless something's going
right,
not just average, going well. And
fifth in total defense too.
Yes.
Like they were,
so it's both.
I mean, statistically, they were really good. Now, again, not everybody plays the same teams, and I like to joke that by playing the AFC South, they were playing the Fox River Classic Conference with DePere and Ashwaubenon, et cetera, right down the road, and obviously, that's an overstatement, but there were some not very good teams in that division. There were some not very good teams around the league, and if you get enough of them on your schedule, it certainly helps your statistics.
Yeah,
but
some. So say they were eighth or seventh. They put them a couple spots lower.
Like,
it's still pretty good. Right. What's the best thing?
Exactly.
What was the best thing about the defense last year that I need to focus on more?
So I feel like they did a lot of things well. And then a couple things they did really poorly, right? I mean, you look at their pass rush, and talk about misleading statistics. I think they finished tied for eighth in the NFL in sacks. But they came, like roughly half of those sacks. I think they finished with 41, maybe. Maybe it's 45. But, like, roughly half came, like, three games.
Okay.
And so that they all know that their pass rush was insufficient. Now, so that's the number one thing that has to get better. As far as the things they did well defensively, they took the ball away better. They were much better on third down. They improved across the board in just about every category from the final Joe Barry year. And I know you love yourself some Joe Barry, but it was clearly a significant upgrade. Now, that said, the pass rush, the silver lining of their pass rush being so crummy is that they basically had to adjust on the fly. They didn't end up running a lot of the defense that they planned on running when they hired Jeff Hafley. And I've said it a million times, the mark to me of a really good coach is not, oh, his scheme is great, he does this, he does that. It's what do you do when things are not, what's not working, and how do you adjust your personnel to make it work? And so he ran a lot of what they call simulated blitzes, simulated pressures, where they would still bring four, but they would drop somebody out and bring someone else, a corner or a safety or a linebacker. And now, because they did that when they weren't intending to, if their front four can rush the way, say, Phillies does or some of the other teams do, then you've added a piece to your toolbox of, okay, we're going to try and get pressure with these four as frequently as we can. But then if we're having a game where they're picking it up or we need to try something different, we've now got the ability and we've seen it, we've proven it, we can send guys and they're going to be effective. And so that to me is the one silver lining of them being so crappy pass rush wise overall. But to your point about Lucas Van Ness, and I would still say, despite his Pro Bowl selection, Rashawn Gary, they got to be better. Kenny Clark's got to be better. Devontae Wyatt, you know, the way he started, you looked at him and were like, okay, I'm starting to see finally why they picked this guy in the first round. And then he hurts his ankle, and then even when he comes back, he's not very good. And then he kind of got things cooking a little bit toward the end, and then he still wasn't good enough. So I'm really curious to see what that group more than any other looks like, because I feel like on defense, the linebackers, I still am a Quay Walker believer. I know there's a lot of doubters. We all agree that Edger and Cooper looks like he is special. And then the corners, obviously there's a concern with depth. I think the three they have, I feel pretty good about. That are their top three. Not great about them, but pretty good. After that, I'd be scared you-know-what-less if I was the Packers. So, you know, whether or not those guys are good enough, that's the other question on the defensive side of the ball. But then they got a bunch of really good safeties and, of course, one of the best in the game in Xavier McKinney.
The other thing, when I think about, like, the defense, that are we going to see anything different in terms of their approach? Like, now it's his second year, so they're going to blitz more, they're going to blitz less, they're going to... What?
Yes. I don't know what I don't know what it's going to be, but Jeff Hafley had a great quote when we talked to him during the offseason program, where he basically said, look, yeah, we did a lot of really good things last year, and guess what? Everyone in the league saw the really good things we did, and that is going to be their focus. So we have to do things differently. Now, again, I don't want to keep harping on this, but to me, the biggest thing is, can you generate pressure with your front four? Because when you can do that and you're using, you know, simulated pressures, blitzes, et cetera, you get to choose when you're using them, as opposed to feeling like you have to use them because otherwise you're not going to get any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. So I do think you're going to see lots of different wrinkles. I think Jeff Hafley believes very strongly in that you can't keep just doing what you're doing, as opposed to some other coaches who, you know, I remember John Gruden saying this. I remember being at his, like, coach's breakfast many, many years ago at the NFL meetings, where he said, we do what we do, and we're going to make other people adjust us. I just don't think that works. I think in this day and age, in this league, you can't get away with that. You have to be constantly evolving, and you certainly have the things that you believe in the most, and those are your core tenets of what you do defensively, but you have to be able to change things up because offenses are too well designed now.
I've said before, and it will certainly be repeated if it doesn't happen, that I have Edgerrin Cooper in the Packer Hall of Fame, and I do because he was, as a rookie, 2-time Defensive Player of the Week. And I don't know where I have to look to find any other Packer in the history of the team that was Defensive Player of the Week twice as a rookie. Somebody suggested Willie Buchanan, which is close to the Don Hutson era, but
That's possible. But, like, even if you look at some of their best players, like, I'm not sure how often Clay Matthews was
as a rookie
defensive player of the week as a rookie.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, Charles Woodson wasn't here as a rookie, but, like, they have a bunch of guys. Like, it was, let's be honest, they have a lot of really good defensive players over the time I've covered this team, going back to Reggie and Leroy Butler, et cetera. And it's not like it's something that they won regularly, even with veteran players.
Right.
Like, it's hard to do that. You have to have a really big game that week to win that.
And he didn't play that much, right?
Right. And look, one of the things about, and Edger and Cooper talked to us about, I have him on Channel 3000 today as number five on my list of most important Packers.
Number five?
Undeniably. Yeah.
Okay.
Number
all right.
five. You know, the quarterback, the running back, the safety who makes it all go.
I'm okay with five.
And a specific tight end that I think is really important to what they do are going to be the top four.
Better be
see
Tucker
what
Craft.
Order they're in. It's Ben Sims. Big surprise one. No, but the thing about Cooper,
I thought maybe you were going to try go Musgrave on people, and I was hoping
no. He was 20. Yeah, he didn't make the list. I put
That's
him at
fine.
20 because I do think, and I wrote this in my tight end preview today. Like, I do think that is a group that if they have Musgrave and Kraft at full strength, Kraft played 85% of the snaps last year. First of all, that's crazy. Second of all, the whole idea of drafting them both was so you could run a bunch of 12 personnel with two tight ends on the field and eat teams up because they wouldn't be able to match up with them. And Luke Musgrave has been, you know, constantly hurt going back to his final year at Oregon State. But the thing about Cooper is he missed three games with a hamstring injury late in the year. And all these young guys, I was talking to Evan Williams about this too, all these young guys, that first year, they don't really know all the things they need to do to keep their bodies in the right spot and, more importantly, how to deal with injuries as they create issues for them. And so if Edger and Cooper also figures out that piece of it, and he can stay on the field and he makes sure that he's not, you know, dehydrated or whatever makes him more susceptible to a hamstring pull like he had last year, that gives him three more opportunities to be a field-tilting player for them.
All right, how do I find out if there are other rookies that have been, I guess I have to go through the defensive player of the week or do I have to call the Packers?
Then? Yeah, I'll look that up for you. I have not investigated that because I just thought he was special enough that I didn't necessarily need to compare him to how many times other rookies did that. But it's a really good, it's an interesting stat. I will, I'll do the research on that. By the way, as someone, how often do you get to go to Marquette practice?
I never go. I could go every day if I wanted. I've made it clear for many years. No interest how somebody plays in practice. None. And I don't want to be swayed in any way. All I care about is what they do in the games. Now, I hear people tell me about certain players. I did. Oh, that's not true. I did go see Dwayne Wade in practice.
Of course you did.
No, only because Tom Crean said yesterday in practice, he scored 26 straight points. Well, I think I like it. And I played him in a little game of horse. We didn't finish.
All right. Well, then you're not going to be able to help me with my question, though. My question is, watching camp, they don't use whistles anymore. They use like a electric thing, like a electronic thing that they push a button and it sounds like a whistle, but no one's actually blowing a whistle.
Good.
Which I find fascinating.
AI, let's go. I did want to ask you about training camp. It's like, what, a week away or what?
Yeah. Week from today.
Okay. Has training camp become as meaningless in some ways as all the other workouts they have in terms of, there's no contact, or what's the appropriate way to view training camp now?
It's the most important of all the off-season, outside of the regular season times of the year, obviously. There is contact. There are pads. There is no tackling to the ground, so it's not live tackling. There is the new invention in recent years. Well, I shouldn't say it was invented in recent years, but it's been popularized and become much more commonplace in recent years. And that, of course, is the joint practice, which I believe, as you have said many times, has now become the new preseason game because your quarterbacks can't get hit, so you can actually have your starting quarterback participate with very little risk to him as opposed to playing him in a preseason game. That said, it's still not nearly as productive as the old days, as I like to say, back in the 90s and 2000s. But it's still, it's really important. And who it's most important for, like, here's one of the things. The competition thing is not it anymore. Like, there used to be a time, now there'll be a competition left tackle, there'll be some other competitions, but there were times when I would come to training camp and there were five or six training camp battles. That's not the case. You pretty much know who your guys are before you get to camp. And frankly, I think the left tackle competition is a little bit bogus. I'm in that club.
I lead that club. So, not only a little bogus, totally bogus. We both know who's going to be the starter at left tackle. Tell the world. Rasheed Walker, and there's no contest going on.
Well, I would say this. We both know who should be the starting left tackle. If they decide to start, like, let's say it's a dead heat, and they give the job to Jordan Morgan. I don't know.
All right.
I'm not willing to say he's definitely going to be, but I think he definitely should be, put it that way.
And Morgan, he'll be the starter next year. Walker's done after this year.
That's what I would do, yes. And he's going to play this year. Somebody's going to get hurt. So no one's going to, they're not all five guys are not going to start all seven.
And he
games.
Can play multiple positions, right?
He can play the guard spots. He could play both tackle spots. If he's the whole idea of drafting guys that are left tackles is they're good. They should be good enough to play anywhere other than center.
Now the question is, how early will they say the battle for left tackle is over?
Not as early as last year when they basically determined it was over before it started.
I look forward for when you tell us it's over.
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur will be the one that tells me, and then I'll tell you.
I think you might make your vote before he does on this one. That's my prediction.
I may vote, but I can't give you the decision. Put it that way. You'd like to do that. That's not my thing.
Can't make his decision, but you can say, listening audience on Wilde and Tausch, he's the starting left tackle. I'm not sure when the announcement will be made by the head coach, but what I'm seeing in all my years of following this team tells me it's over. I look forward to that. Right. Will you do that?
You'll be the first one I saw.
I won't even do it on our show.
I'll do it with you.
Oh, Tausch will. Yeah, well, then Tausch will do it. One of you will do it. And you should do it on your show.
Yeah, there's more people that listen.
That's correct. Thanks.
Good care, Homer. Be good.
Truth is easy when you're old. Next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tim Van Gorn coming up very soon. Dr. Aaron Holterbeck and his team make vision care top priority with the latest technologies at their state-of-the-art Brookfield office. I went there, and he kept telling me appropriately, look how we do things the best way. I said, well, great, I'll mention that. Now he's even doing it better than the best way. Dr. Holterbeck has been helping local patients with their eye care needs for over 20 years, but said, we got to be better. We're going to be better. Last year, they added Dr. Nausheen Abbas to the team. Now they're accepting new patients. That doesn't happen that often. Don't mess with your vision. Trust the experts. And there are even more of them now. Who knows? They might even have another one. I'll have to call them. Holterbeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at holterbeck.com. And now accepting new patients. Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. What do we got, Pebble?
What's the most amount of money you'd be willing to pay for a Green Bay Packers preseason game? The answer, your choices are nothing, $25, $50, or $75.
My answer and my vote is nothing. And that's not because I can get them for nothing. I can't get them for nothing.
Nothing is at 36% of the vote right now. $25 is at 46%. $50 at 18%.
I would be willing to pay $25 a ticket if I wanted to take my family, kids, to Lambeau Field for the first time. If you've never been to Lambeau Field, then you need to go to a preseason game, because I'm guessing most games you can get a ticket for $25 or less. We could have people take call-ins. There's only the Jets, August the 9th, and the Seattle Seahawks, the gold package game on the 23rd. Yes, I got to believe you can get four tickets for less than $100. Do you think I'm right about that, Pebble?
I'm searching the Jets-Packers game right now, and the lowest ticket price is $23.
Yeah, right.
The lowest ticket price for the Seahawks preseason game is $35.
Yeah, right. And I think Daniel, we're not even working at it. I would guess if people have season tickets, they would take $25 a ticket. Maybe that'll be our question tomorrow. If you are a season ticket holder, are you willing to sell your preseason tickets for either of the two games for $25 a ticket? I would say yes. Maybe we'll ask Tim Van Vorn because he is next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Vorn on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports. The Packers start training camp in a week. I don't know if training camp means anything anymore because all the other workouts they have don't seem to mean as much. But the most important question to ask TVV, Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports. Good evening.
Hi.
Will the Packers win the division? Yes or no, TVV?
I know you gave me that one last week. You said it could sit for a week. No less convicted in my answer for you. I'm going to say no. I give them a shot of doing so. I think they make the playoffs, but I don't think they win the division if you put me up against it.
Well, did you have to think about it for a while, or was easy?
Yep. No, I definitely had to think about it.
What makes you think about it for a while that it then, I would say, because your standard's pretty high. You never just play along. There must be something there that makes you think it could happen, even if it doesn't.
Yeah, I think they have a talented roster. I think they have upgraded in certain spots. I think they still have some question marks. I would say that about every team in the NFC North. I think Detroit dips. I'm just in that camp. I think that two extremely talented coordinators had a lot to do with their success, and I think Frank Ragnow retiring after the draft, is something that's going to be a setback for them. I can't really get my hands around what Minnesota is going to be. And Chicago to me is still fourth in the division, but will be a tough team to beat. So given that, yeah, the Packers can win this division. I just don't think they do, though.
What concerns, or what's your list, number one concern for the Packers?
Pass rush. It still is. I think you can compete in a lot of areas, and if you just can't get to the other quarterback the way the game is consistently set up now, that's going to bite you. And I believe in Jeff Hafley. I think they have some players they believe in. I'm not sure that I'm as gung-ho as they are and the guys who they are counting on to get pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. And, if your defensive backfield shows any signs of weakness, then things get topsy-turvy in a hurry. If teams decide, look, we're going to pass on you, we're just going to pass on you. We think we got enough time to throw, and we think with time we can find openings in that defensive backfield. That's a tough thing to overcome.
But they didn't seem to do that last year. I'd have to check the numbers, but it doesn't. Wouldn't they have wanted to do that last year too? Or
they would have. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Xavier McKinney, very strong player. I can't imagine he's as successful this year. I just think that's returns to the mean kind of thing. Even if you're a good player, which I think he is. I don't think he's as successful. You subtract Jair Alexander. I know he didn't play very much last year, but it's a subtraction from the cornerback room, as far as I'm concerned. And I just don't know on the guys that they believe in. Is Brenton Cox going to get home as a pass rusher? Homer, is Lucas Van Ness going to reward your faith in him? Is Rashawn Gary going to
play? I don't have any faith
like
in him. I'm asking you for
like
faith
a play in Pro Bowler instead of just be technically a Pro Bowler. You know, they are bullish enough on these guys. If they're right, terrific. I'm not there yet.
I'm almost
Van
Ness. I would ask Van Ness. He had the same number of sacks in his first 2 years as Rashawn Gary.
You said it. Training camp's opening a week from now. How do you feel about the pass rush group that the Packers have?
I don't feel good about it. I think it would be better because Cooper, I think their ability to create problems with a good player, then that makes it a little easier for everyone else. But they were in points given up. They were, was it sixth or eighth last year? They had to be doing stuff right to give up that few number of points. But yet I don't see how anybody thinks Van Ness is going to be any good, because I don't think anybody sees anything, but I will defer to you.
Well, one of the things they did right last year was play the AFC South. Okay, let's be honest.
Okay, so let's put them at 10th in points rather than that.
Well, all right. Well, what are they? What were they against the elite team? I'm sorry, I'm not against the Packers. I'm actually optimistic for the Packers going into this season. But if you look at how they played against top talent, I would say they played Philadelphia better than anybody else in the playoffs. That is a plus in their category. But they couldn't do enough to beat Philadelphia in either of their meetings during the season. And obviously we know how they played within the division. That doesn't get erased in my mind. I hope it doesn't get erased in the minds of the Packers. And, I'm not saying they're deluded, but you could be deluded by the overall record, by the overall statistics, by Brandon McManus winning games at the end of the game by a field goal block against the Bears. You know, Packers were kind of on the edge in a lot of games that could have gone against them. So maybe this year it bounces back, but that's not erased from my mind over last year.
As is usual, you make very good points. I mean, my fear is that they're good, but not good enough. It's the way the Packers looked at all the other teams kind of in the NFC, even though they didn't necessarily win also. But it's like, how do you feel like when you're good, but the Packers are always better? I think Philadelphia is just better. You're wondering about Detroit. Winning the division, doesn't it become so huge to set yourself up for so much easier in the playoffs? Not certainly that the Packers did it, but they were still a 6 seed, not a 7. Mm-hmm. That makes it even tougher.
You know, Minnesota was really, really successful last year. And what was their postseason like?
Crap.
You know, exactly. Okay. And you can point to, things they caught up to Sam Darnold, whatever it is. That's what their postseason was. And they were, a 5th seed, maybe? They were playing for the division on the final weekend of the regular season.
Yes.
They turned out to be a 5th seed, and they're gone in one game in the postseason. Okay.
And you weren't surprised by that. No one was.
I wasn't stunned by that. But, the year before, the Packers made noise as a lower seed. So it can go both ways, but you have to have a – if you were the Packers – did you have, at the end of the regular season last year, again, how did those last regular season games go? And then you're going into the playoffs at Philadelphia. Did you really believe you were going to win at Philadelphia?
No. Okay. I don't believe they'd win at Philadelphia this year. All right, now I need
a
favor.
A year earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need a favor.
Yes.
I need you to go on your sports and say, everybody should know, Robinyat was the 3rd overall pick in the baseball draft. Paul Molitor was the 3rd overall pick in the baseball draft. Andrew Vaughn, the new member of the Brewers, was the 3rd pick in the baseball draft. Shouldn't everybody know that? Shouldn't everybody know that?
Present it. Just present that like that every night.
Now, and then I want you to go and find out if in Chicago they called him Tony Mandarich. Or what? Like, how they gave up on the 3rd overall pick in the draft.
He was Darko in Chicago, maybe. He still has an RBI in every Brewer game he's ever played, right?
I know, every but Brewer do people played. Know how good someone's supposed to be when they're 3rd overall pick in the draft? What should that mean? They should be a 15-year Major League Baseball vet, right? You should. I'll ask you. They don't have to be Yonder Mouser, but...
Yeah, and in 15 years, you ought to make the 3 or 4 All-Star teams if you're the 3rd overall pick.
Yes.
That's right.
You think the average fan, when you go to the park, knows? You say Andrew Vaughn, Home Alder, Robin Yao. Exactly the same in one way. What is that? I say 1 in 100 if you're lucky.
Aaron Civale, we miss you.
Thanks, TVV.
See you, Homer.
It's tough stuff on the Packers, but we expect if it is. Not negative, but tough. TVV. ESPN National next.
Analysis.
Oh, Thanalysis. I apologize. Thanalysis is next.